seal out drafts, dust, and moisture with MD brand weather stripping from Menards. A well-sealed home is more comfortable and energy efficient. We have the largest selection of in-stock weather stripping with over 100 products available to take home and start lowering your energy bills today. Save big money on weather stripping right now at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
The story takes place 5 years ago, and I'm 23 now as I'm writing this. As soon as I turned 18, I was looking for a new place to live. My parents and I didn't have the best relationship at the time, as I was sort of a hard-headed, arrogant teenager, and we would butt heads constantly.
You can't make the most of your data if it's stuck in different silos. If it's scattered across the cloud, on-prem, and with your apps, then it's hard to access, hard to work with, and increasingly expensive. Now you can see it all and manage it all from one place. Welcome to Data Done Right. You can start managing your data, not your infrastructure. It's unified, simple, secure, and it's only with a Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com.
Especially my father and I. I love them both to death, and know they weren't the greatest parents, as all three of us had our flaws, but I'm just happy we were able to work through everything. Because nowadays, we're doing much better as a family. But for years, things weren't so great around the house. I take responsibility for a lot of the blame, but definitely not all of it. None of my friends wanted to move out of their parents' house yet, understandably, as most of them had a great relationship with their mom and dad. They all had jobs and were going to college and trying to save up some money along the way, but I, on the other hand, wanted to get out as soon as possible. My parents would always threaten to kick me out when I would get caught smoking weed or drinking alcohol, but every time I packed my things up and left, they would call the police and report me as a runaway. Luckily, I never had to go to juvie, but I sat overnight in a jail multiple times, in a holding cell for a quote-unquote lesson. I never really learned my lesson, though, and unfortunately, I had to learn the hardest way imaginable. I wasn't cocky, just arrogant and hot-headed. So since I didn't know anyone who wanted to be roommates with me, I took a leap of faith. I looked on Craigslist in hopes I could find a cheap place for rent. Stumbled upon a decent but small-looking house that said it was renting for $550. Now that almost seemed too good to be true. I knew there had to be a catch, but I was interested in all the details, so I reached out. When I called them, the lady didn't answer, so I left a voicemail. A short while after, I received a text with the time to come and check out the house and talk to her in person about everything. She wanted me to come that night, so I did. When I arrived, she went over everything with me and it all seemed to be good so far. I was actually pretty excited about having a place all to myself. She didn't have me sign any sort of papers or anything though. All she asked was for a small deposit fee, which I managed to scrape up. She said I could move in the next day as long as I had the deposit money. I showed up the next morning to the house and I met with her so I could pay her. After that, she gave me the keys and I unpacked my truck and took off. I had some other things I had to do that day. Plus, I had to go back to my parents to load the truck up with a few more things. When I got back to the new rental, it was around 8:30 p.m. As I was rolling up the driveway, I noticed the lady's car was still there. I was really skeptical about that and slightly uncomfortable. When I walked in, she was sitting in the living room on my couch watching TV. What the hell are you doing here, lady? Not trying to be rude, but what the heck is going on? I asked. Oh, I'll be staying here for a while until I can get my own place, she said. I looked at her like she was crazy and I was absolutely puzzled. Nowhere in our agreement did she mention that we would be roommates. I asked her how long she planned on staying, and she said only a few days. I was very uncomfortable with this, but I was just so tired and overwhelmed that I accepted it and I just went to my room. I fell asleep shortly after laying down, and that was my worst mistake. I was creeped out by this woman, who was pretty much a stranger, staying in my new house, but I didn't know what choice I really had. She was at least 65 years old, though, so I knew if she tried anything crazy, I would be able to defend myself no problem. Plus, I locked my bedroom door so she couldn't try anything on me while I was sleeping, Just in case, you know. About 30 minutes after falling asleep, I woke up to some music playing out in the living room. I got out of bed and I asked her if she could tone it down and that I was trying to sleep, but all I got from her was a blank stare. She turned the music down a tad but didn't say anything. I managed to fall back asleep, but what I awoke to was the most creepy and terrifying thing that has ever happened to me to this day. There was a knock on my door. At first, it was very light. "Hello, what do you want? I'm trying to sleep, lady." "Timmy, wake up," she said. "Dinner's almost done. You don't want to make mommy upset." After she said that, I felt this chill run down my neck to the bottom of my back. My name isn't Timmy, so I knew something was wrong with this lady. As a matter of fact, my name is nothing even close to that. I was so stunned that I didn't even say anything. I was hoping she would just walk away and leave me alone. Less than a minute later, she started banging on the door with both fists closed relentlessly, all while screaming at the same time. "Let me in now, I swear to God, if you don't, it will be the last of you, boy." I was scared she was going to get the door unlocked somehow, so I scooted the dresser across the room and I moved it in front of the door. I then grabbed my phone and opened the bedroom window and jumped out and ran straight to my truck and drove off. I never even looked back once. I didn't know at the time, but a few weeks later I found out that her son went missing and they ended up finding his dead body. Eileen was the lady's name, by the way, and she was pinned for the murder of her son. There was loads of evidence that she poisoned him. They found him buried in the rental of that backyard. Her son's name was Timmy. I don't know what the hell is wrong with her, but she's seriously so sick in the head. I don't know if she really thought I was her son or not. Maybe she was trying to relive the whole situation again, and trying to murder me or something, but it's hard to say. Or maybe she's so insane that she actually thought I was her son. It feels like a fever dream talking about this even now. This woman was batshit insane, and I'm 100% convinced that if I ate the food she made for me that night, that I would be 6 feet under, just like Timmy. I was just getting home from a long day of school and work. It was 9 o'clock at night, and right off the bat, when I walked into my apartment, I noticed that it smelled foul. I immediately walked over to Ryan's room, who was a good friend and roommate of mine at the time, to see if he knew what the smell was. I knocked on his door and he didn't answer. That was weird, because he was always home and he always answered the door when I knocked. So I lightly tapped on the door again and said, "Hey bro, you in there? You awake?" But again, there was no answer. I really felt like barging through, I can't lie to you, but I held back the urge as I wouldn't want the same thing done to me. A couple hours passed and the smell grew more intense. I blew Ryan's phone up, hoping for a response, but he never replied with a single text. I must have called 5 or 6 times, and every single time it went straight to voicemail. This was extremely uncommon for him to do. Before I get into this story any further, I'd just like to add that this really isn't for the faint of heart, and I'm putting a trigger warning for this, so you can't say you weren't warned beforehand. A few more hours passed by, and the smell grew even more intense. It was absolutely wretched, and it started to seem like it was coming from Ryan's room. At this point, I didn't care if he was in there or not, and I didn't care what he was doing. I was determined to get to the bottom of the damn smell. "Ryan, if you're in there, I'm coming in there," I said. Right after I said that, I turned the door handle. I tried to open the door, but of course it was locked. I grabbed a bobby pin from the guest bathroom and I picked through the lock. After messing with it for some time, I opened the door and I was met with one of the nastiest smells you could imagine. I'm talking 20 times as bad as the original odor. It smelled so bad that the odor was practically leaving a stench trail straight to the closet. Horrified, I walked over to it and I opened it up, and what I was met with was next level insanity. I couldn't believe what my eyes were seeing. There was a garbage bag with an animal leg sticking out of it, and maggots everywhere. It had to have been sitting there for weeks. I about threw up on the spot. I didn't know what kind of animal it was at the time, but it seemed to be a dog. I don't care if I seem like a pussy for this either, because that's just not right. So I called the police immediately and I snitched on my friend, or whatever you want to call it. I explained the whole thing to the dispatcher and the cops showed up within 10 minutes. They went into the closet and they found that it indeed was a dog. It was a beaten to death pit bull with its head nearly completely decapitated. I couldn't watch them haul the dog out without bursting into a panic. I'm a huge animal lover, so it really tore me up to see that poor pup like that. We waited for Ryan to hopefully show up for at least an hour, but he never showed. So the police took off and they told me to give them a call if he showed up. I said screw that though. I wasn't staying in that apartment for another second. What's crazy is, I've never talked to him ever since after that. I blocked him on everything and took all my shit out of the apartment the very next day, and I broke my month-to-month lease. I have no idea where Ryan is or where he ended up. Talk went on around town that he wound up missing, but I could give a shit less, to be honest. That scumbag deserves what's coming to him 100%. I'm glad I barged into Ryan's room when I did though, because what if I didn't? What if I would have found out what he had done while he was there? Would he have tried to kill me too? They put a warrant out for his arrest, I believe. I hope they find the son of a bitch. You really never know someone, do you? He was a lifelong friend of mine up until this very moment. I'm talking from first grade to senior year. It still bewilders me thinking back on everything, even now. It's hard to believe that the Ryan I knew was capable of something like that. He was sick mentally. I had just graduated high school in the summer of 2018. I was wanting to get my own place and I had been saving up money from my job for 2 years to do just that. My original plan was to rent out this cheap one-bedroom apartment that was downtown and right next to the high school that I went to. I had like 5 friends that I knew that were already living there, so it was the perfect place. I would still be close to everyone and everything, literally within walking distance to the grocery store, nearby parks, and pretty much everything else you need on a daily basis. I had saved up $10,000, and I wasn't in any debt. My car was paid off, and I was happy to be alive. This was one of the best moments of my life. I applied for the apartment online, and when I was accepted for it, it felt great. It felt great to have my own space where I could enjoy myself in my own 4 walls. Everything took a dramatic turn about a week after living there, though. Remember I was telling you about the friends that I had that were already living there? Well, Aaron and Rob, who were 2 good friends of mine, actually lived in the same building as I did, but on the 3rd floor, just 2 apartments above me, where I was on the 1st floor. They came over a few times and we hung out for a bit. Nothing too crazy at first. That is, until they broke the ice. They started spending a little bit too much time at my place, and eventually after them staying over for 2 days straight, I kindly asked them to leave so I could have some me time. Really, I just wanted them to leave, and I was trying to hint at that in the nicest way possible. My place quickly became the everyday hangout spot, and I was growing to not like it very much. Especially with me being an introvert. Not to mention, I finally just got my own place, and I thought I was going to be alone much more than I was. That was when Aaron told me that they had just been evicted and that they needed a place to stay for a few weeks. That put me in a really bad position. I didn't want to push them out into the streets, and they sort of tugged at my heartstrings a little, and so I basically told them that they had 2 weeks. Well, 2 weeks turned into 4 weeks, and then 2 months. I guess you can say I was kind of a pushover with a big heart for people, especially my friends. Turns out that they weren't really my friends all along though, and just using me for a place to stay. They didn't respect me or my wishes at all. Every day they would have random people over and be loud as hell until 1 a.m, smoking and drinking with a bunch of random chicks every night. We even had the cops called on us multiple times. I'm honestly lucky that I never got evicted. Eventually, I got sick of it one night when I was trying to sleep. I had already asked everyone to quiet down multiple times, and they were completely ignoring my wishes, so I stormed out of my room and I kicked them out. Every single one of them, including Aaron and Rob. It took me like 20 minutes to actually get them all to leave, but they finally left after I threatened to call the police. I was relieved that they were finally gone, but they left me with a huge mess. I decided to pick it all up in the morning as I was just super tired. I woke up at the ass crack of dawn, at about 6 a.m. with a pounding headache. I walked out of my room wearing only my boxers and rubbing my eyes trying to wake myself up, when all of a sudden, I jumped to oblivion. Aaron and Rob were sitting on my damn couch. What the hell are you doing, bro? Get the hell out of here, I said. We're not going anywhere. Will you just chill? Jeez, Aaron said. I didn't even have it in me to argue with him, so I pulled out my phone right away and I started to dial 911. The cops showed up, but of course, they ran away before they got there. I knew they let themselves in with the spare key that I originally gave them when they first started to stay with me, and they still had it. Huge mistake, I know. I really hoped that would be the end of it all, even though I knew deep down that it probably wasn't. I really had no way of keeping them out, so I did what I thought would work best. I put a huge barricade in front of the door in case they tried to come back. Around 10:30 p.m. that night, there was no sign of them whatsoever. I had just started to forget about them finally, and I got lost into this movie I was watching, when all of a sudden, I heard the front door jingle. Oh my effing god, I thought to myself. Not again. When are you two knuckleheads going to leave me alone? At this point, I was worried for my safety, so I called the police again and I ignored Aaron and Rob at my door. Hey bro, let me in. We're sorry, man, please. It's really freaking cold outside. We won't mess it up this time. Just let us stay this one last night and we'll be out of your hair for good. There was something so off about them apologizing. It felt so fake and I got this really bad feeling inside of me. I knew better than to believe that shit though, so I sat and waited for the police. Thankfully, they showed up quickly and actually arrested them both. What's disturbing is what they got caught with in their possession. The drugs were sort of normal for them, but they had been caught with roofie drugs, not just weed. Also handcuffs, an illegal firearm, multiple knives, and a bondage rope, and a few other potential torture devices. I literally dodged a bullet that night by not letting them in. I got a restraining order put out on them, and my apartment changed the locks for me. I really hope they weren't planning on doing anything to me that night. But man, I don't know, the odds don't seem in my favor. At this point, they seem like potential future serial killers. There's something not right about that. I'm more of the nerdy type that likes to focus on school and sports, but sometimes I would indulge in the drinking with these guys. But ever since that night, I swore I'd never touch alcohol ever again. It's left a bad taste in my mouth ever since.